This is the Best Of Daily Devotion series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
In Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, he did not have to warn these believers of doctrinal errors, but they did have some, well, relational problems. We're going to get into this today, where two women who had been workers for Christ in the church, workers with Paul in the church, had broken their relationship in what was apparently not a small matter. Because many had become believers through their efforts, it's possible to believe in Christ, work hard for his kingdom, and yet still have broken relationships with others who are committed to the same cause. But gang, there's no excuse for remaining unreconciled. I wonder today, do you need to be reconciled to somebody? Those whose names are in the book of life are also those who are marked out for salvation through faith in Christ and a living in Christ. We're in chapter 4 of the letter to Philippi, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Let's begin verse 1, where Paul writes, "Dear brothers and Christians, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord." It seems here in chapter 4 that Paul is now turning his attention away from the false believers that were amongst them. I guess they'll always be amongst us, right? And now he turns towards the true believers. He is opening his heart towards them. He's calling them his brothers and sisters as part of the very body of Christ in which he was also a part. And he starts this chapter by saying, "Therefore." Now, we all remember that in the previous chapter, Paul had been warning this church in Philippi that wolves would come in amongst them and would attempt to, well, wreak havoc. He went on to remind them that this world was not to be their home, and they would one day receive new bodies that are eternal. Now, chapter 4 then begins with that word, "therefore," or "because of this fact," then, Paul goes on, "we should stand firm." You know, such a warning can only really be given if there's not only a real possibility of not remaining standing, but in fact, a very real danger of such. The false teachers, they were telling the believers there in Philippi that it didn't really matter how they lived. And that story is still being propagated yet today. But Paul herein is saying that it does matter. There has always been those false believers around that'll preach a little faith that is all in their head and never in their hands. They will say that they love Jesus, but will practice and advocate even a lifestyle that does nothing to manifest that love, or frankly, one that models instead a general disregard for holiness and servanthood. They will tell you that theirs is a righteous faith, but I'm here today to tell you that that's a lie. And Paul had been warning these in Philippi to watch out for these guys who are going to try to bring to you an easy Jesus-like faith. Now, furthermore, Paul was warning these believers to be careful that they didn't fall away. Nobody ever thinks they will, and yet so many eventually do. Many will begin this race, but very few will actually finish it. To stand fast means simply to stand firm, to persist and persevere. It is the picture of a soldier standing strong against the onslaught of an enemy. He refuses to give ground. No matter the pressure, no matter the strength of the attack, he does not flinch, and he is not unstable, and he is never defeated. The believer who moves through this life in prayer, keeping his mind and thoughts upon the Lord, is certainly the believer who will ultimately stand fast in the Lord, because there is simply no way to be in the Lord unless we are thinking and talking and walking in that same Lord. Very simply, we are whatever we are thinking, talking, and walking in. Paul calls upon these Philippian believers, and he says that they are my brothers, beloved, and longed for. Now, that original language is the same that God spoke about concerning Christ at Christ's baptism. Paul refers to these believers as a contributor to his joy. We must know today that joy is not happiness. It certainly isn't giddiness, one that is contingent upon a person's state of being or their emotional status. Paul is not talking about a mere mood, but rather a deep confidence in God and in his complete control. Paul also calls them his crown, quote unquote, the visible reward at the victorious finish line. Those whom we have been blessed to be a part of their salvation and their discipleship, well, they'll make up our own personal crowns when we reach the end of our own race. Many times in Scripture, we are reminded, called upon, to stand. It is a fact that the spiritual walk is often a war and there will be casualties. It'll only take a real strength to survive, a strength that comes by being possessed by the Spirit of God. So if you're operating today on your own strength, it's only a matter of time because Satan is stronger than you and you are thus eventually going to fall. However, when we are filled with the very present Spirit of God, which happens, by the way, through honest request, then, quote, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, end quote. Is there people who will be your joy and crown when you get to the other side? Or is your faith just all about you? And are you failing to reach out and touch others? Jesus calls upon all of us to go and make disciples. And guess what? No one is exempt.
That was a daily devotion by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.